As I said, we've been studying the Lord's Prayer together on Sunday evenings over these past weeks. And tonight we've come to the last request in the Lord's Prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Or it might be from the evil one. Could be translated in either way. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, this evening I'm going to start by repeating two points that I've made before during this series. And I don't make any apologies for that, because they're repeated here in the text. And so it's right that we should be pointing it out every time that we meet them. The first is something that we talked about last week, and that this sentence begins with the word and. And lead us not into temptation. And that then links it back to the previous request, and in fact, the request before. Because last week we had, and forgive us our debts. So that means that this sentence, this prayer, is another vital request we need to be making every day. Just as important as eating is for our physical health. We said we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And we said then we need to pray every day that God will forgive our debts. Well, equally, we need to pray every day that God will lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I don't think that's a surprise to any of you. You would expect that in a prayer taught to us by the Lord Jesus himself, that every part of it would be essential for our souls. It is possible for us to get fixated on one or another parts of this prayer and neglect other parts of it. Perhaps most obviously at the moment, and we're reminded that people can get fixated on give us this day our daily bread. They're worried about whether God will meet their needs. We see people stocking up and emptying the supermarkets because they're worried. Well, Jesus specifically warns us, we looked at it, didn't we, not to be anxious about what we eat or drink. He teaches us to pray for that, but he doesn't want that to be all that we're praying for. We need to be balanced in our praying. We need to be praying for all these different parts of the prayer. Don't miss out any part. And the second thing that I want to repeat and point out to you again is the fact that all the way through the prayer, we are being taught to pray not just for ourselves, but for one another. And that's true in this part of the prayer, just as it is throughout the rest of it. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we're to be as concerned for our brothers and sisters being kept from temptation and delivered from Satan's schemes as we are for ourselves. Now, in a moment, we are going to see this is a prayer which God sometimes answers by keeping us from temptation and sometimes by delivering us when we are plunged into situations of temptation. So the fact is that even if today God spares me from intense temptation, then today there are other believers who aren't being spared, who are facing trials and difficulties far beyond mine. So we need to be earnestly praying for them, just as they will then earnestly pray for us when we're in those times of trouble. So having repeated those two points, that does bring me to the first thing that I particularly want to point out about this request. And it's this. This is a request which has built-in conditionality. If you don't know what I mean by that, what I mean is that when we pray it, we pray knowing that sometimes the first half of the request will be denied. And that's a bit different from the other parts of the prayer. You know, when we pray to God, give us this day our daily bread, we know that God has guaranteed not to give us stones, but to meet all our needs every day, even though we saw that what we thought our greatest needs were aren't always the ones. We're not always right about that. Sometimes God knows that we have other needs, and he meets those. And equally, God has promised to forgive our debts, to forgive our sins every day. But when we pray to him, and lead us not into temptation, we need to pray that knowing that sometimes God will place us. He will lead us into situations of temptation. Jesus himself said, this is Matthew chapter 18, verse 7, "For it is necessary that temptations will come." And that was Jesus' own experience, as we read earlier. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So sometimes, even though we pray, lead us not into temptation, God does do so. And that's where the second half of the request comes in. It starts with a but, and the implication's clear, isn't it? Lead us not into temptation, but if this is a situation where I must face temptation, if this is a situation today when I have to go through intense testing and temptation, then deliver me from evil. Rescue me from Satan's clutches. Either way, whichever way the prayer is answered, God is going to protect us and deliver us and all God's people, either by being kept from temptation in the first place or by delivering us from evil. Now, it's really important that we understand that, because otherwise we can be tempted to despair when we do face powerful temptations and when we feel like we're sinking out of our depth. Well, when we're in those situations, what we mustn't say is, God has failed me, he hasn't answered my prayer. I asked him not to lead me into temptation and he has. In those situations, we need to say, but God has promised to deliver me from evil, that he's going to answer by the second half of this request. So this is a request which has this built-in conditionality. God will either answer our prayers by granting us the first half, but if he doesn't, he will answer it by granting us the second half. And having seen that, the second thing we need to see is that God does put his people into situations of testing and temptation. God does put his people into situations of testing and temptation. And this is a normal part of Christian experience. Now, James, the brother of the Lord Jesus, writes this. This is James chapter 1, verse 2. He says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So James says this is an experience that's necessary for believers if we're to become steadfast and perfect and complete. God is going to put us through trials. And we should count it joy, not because it's a joyful thing to go through trials, but that God is using those means to develop that character in us. And that word, trials, is the same word that we find here in the Lord's Prayer that means temptation. If you were reading in the Authorized Version, you would read in James, when ye fall into divers temptations. The translators translate that word either as trials or temptations, depending on the context. But you can see how closely those ideas are linked with each other. And God brings us into situations of pressure and difficulty, which test and try our faith, and there are different ways that we can respond. Either we're going to respond in ways which are going to develop us, develop steadfastness, or we respond by being tempted into sins of different kinds. So this is something that we need to expect as believers. And if you read through the Bible and you read about the people in the Bible, this is something that you just see happening again and again and again. So right back at the beginning, Genesis chapter 4, God speaks to Cain. Cain's offering to the Lord has been rejected, and he's angry with his brother. And God warns Cain that sin is crouching at his door and he needs to deal with it. So Cain is being put in a situation of testing, of temptation. But he ignores God's warning and he kills his brother. We read earlier about the Israelites in the wilderness. And God tests them with hunger and thirst. And it's a testing, trying, tempting situation. And what should they do? They should trust God. And they should call out to him for deliverance. But instead, they complain and they grumble and they refuse to trust him. And Paul says, when they're doing that, they are examples for us. It's not just something that happened in the Old Testament that has nothing to do with us. He says, this happened to them as examples for us on whom the end of the ages has come. We need to look at what they did and take note. Think about Joseph. Remember how day after day, he was tested by Potiphar's wife trying to seduce him. And day after day he resists the temptation until it lands him up in prison. He's tested and he refuses to disobey God. David, think of David. We read about him being tested in many ways through his life. Twice he has Saul's life at his mercy. And his men are saying to him, the Lord has given you the opportunity to kill Saul and to take the throne. And he refuses to do that. He passes the test. He resists the temptation. There's another time when a man called Nabal has insulted him. And he and his men have strapped on their swords and they're heading to kill Nabal and all in his household. And he's delivered from that temptation by Abigail's intervention. And then There's the tragic events where he's tested, he's tempted. And he falls into the sin of adultery with Bathsheba. And that leads to the murder of Uriah. Think about Daniel and his friends in Babylon being put into situations of testing and temptation. And they come through. They refuse to bow to idols. They refuse to stop praying to the Lord. We give an example after example, time after time, when God's people face tests and temptations. So that means we should never be surprised or taken aback when that happens to us. The very fact that it's so woven into our experience is the reason why it's so important for us to be praying this prayer day after day. You know, if this was just something that happened to us once a year, we wouldn't need to be praying the prayer every day, would we? But because we're constantly being brought into situations of testing, every day we need to be saying, "Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil." Now it's worth applying this to our current situation. We do need to recognise that for many of us in these weeks and months ahead, we are going to be facing ongoing temptations and tests. And perhaps they're going to be different from the temptations we normally face. There are going to be additional pressures and difficulties, or different ones from usual. So it's worth thinking about them now, identifying them, and praying specifically for deliverance from these temptations, so that we're aware of Satan's snares, so we don't get caught in his traps. Just think about some of the different ways that we might face temptations in the coming months during this virus. Some of us are going to be facing the temptations which are caused by fear and anxiety. Like those Israelites in the wilderness, we might find it hard to trust God. And that's probably especially true if you are someone who's sick or vulnerable, or if you have loved ones in that situation. And fear and anxiety can be crippling sources of temptation. But for some, it's going to be different. Some of us are going to be facing the temptations caused by boredom, people with little to do. And that comes with its own temptations, doesn't it? There's the temptation to waste time on useless activities, to watch things we shouldn't be watching on the TV or the internet. There's the temptation to gossip with people on the phone or on WhatsApp or on Facebook or whatever you use, and to have useless conversations that aren't building other people up. There's the temptation just to become obsessed with what's happening, keeping up with the latest news, and neglecting the things that we ought to be doing. We should recognise that those may be specific temptations for some of us. But for others, it's going to be the opposite. There are going to be some people for whom the stresses and the strains of enormous busyness, they're going to have the temptations of neglecting their spiritual life, of failing to look to God for help. And some people are going to be facing the particular temptations of loneliness and isolation. And then there's the danger of self-pity, or blaming other people, or getting angry with the people we think should be helping us, or getting in touch. Now, whichever situation you're in, however you're being affected, people are likely to be tempted to be more grumpy and more irritable and more quick to anger and blame other people and less trusting. So let's be honest with ourselves. And let's do it now. Whether you're feeling cooped up and trapped, or whether you're feeling rushed off your feet or somewhere in between, think about these temptations. Think about the particular issues that you're going to face. And take your particular situation to the Lord and plead with him, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You know, sometimes we're so familiar with these words, and we can just say them without, and just think of temptation as something very general. But we're not to do that. We need to apply it very specifically to our own lives and our own situations. We need to pray it for the things that we know are temptations for us, or for the other person you're praying for. Be specific in your praying. Take these things to the Lord and ask your Father in heaven to help you with those particular temptations. So that was the second thing that I wanted to show you, that God does put us into situations of temptation and trial. Don't be surprised by that. Be prepared for that. But then the third thing I want to look at this evening, the third thing I want to point you to, is simply to the perfect example of the Lord Jesus himself. Because in our temptations, this is the best place to go. You know, when Jesus taught this prayer, when he spoke to his disciples and he said, pray like this, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. This wasn't the cold command of some distant government official who doesn't understand what you're going through. This is a prayer that he taught us from his own personal experience. Just remember what had happened to him shortly before he preached these words. We read about it earlier. Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, like the Israelites were, to be tempted by Satan. And there in the wilderness, he faces huge tests. Faces gnawing physical hunger. You know, one of the great understatements of the Bible. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and at the end of that time, he was hungry. Can you imagine how hungry he must have been after 40 days? And then Satan says to him, turn these stones into bread. And then Satan tempts him to try and force his father into stepping in to deliver him from danger, and tempts him with a chance to be given the glory and worship of men that he has the right to, but without having to face the horror of the cross. The temptations the Lord Jesus was put through, the temptations far more intense than those we will ever face. So when Jesus talks about temptation, he's talking from personal experience. He knows the power of the evil one. He knows his subtlety. He knows the strength and power of temptation. And how did Jesus resist such powerful dangers? Simply by being prepared. What was he doing for those 40 days in the wilderness? He's been meditating on the scriptures and he's been praying. And what was he praying? Well, we know at least one of the things he was praying for. He must have been praying, "Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one." And his prayers were answered. Jesus knows what it's like to pray this prayer, to go to the Father and plead to be delivered from evil. So when he tells you to pray, he means it, and he knows that it works. And then you see it later on again in the life of the Lord Jesus. You remember the occasion when Jesus has told his disciples that he must go up to Jerusalem to suffer and to die. And one of his disciples, Simon Peter, takes him aside and rebukes him. And he says to him, "Lord, these things shall never be." And Jesus' reaction is instantaneous and it's sharp. And he says, "Get behind me, Satan." He knows it's the evil one who's putting those words on Simon's lips. And the temptation to avoid the cross, not to go through that, is so powerful. It's so strong. It's so difficult to resist. The only way for Jesus to deal with it is to instantly cut off any such thought, even if that makes him apparently abruptly rude. He knows the power of a sudden, hugely powerful temptation. And then most starkly of all, we see it in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you know what happened there, in the shadow of the cross, on the night of the day before, the night before he died. Jesus falls onto his knees in the garden and he prays the most intense prayer that anyone has ever prayed. "If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." That temptation is so strong. It's so immense that the only way he can be delivered from it is by the prayer which draws great drops of blood from him. By a prayer that's so intense that it takes angels to revive him after he's prayed it. Jesus knows what it means to pray, "Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil." And the contrast is so stark, isn't it, with his disciples in that situation. They also face a huge test. That night they are going to be tempted to deny the Lord Jesus and to flee away and to imperil their own souls. And Jesus warns them. He says to them, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And they fall asleep. And they don't pray. And then when the temptation comes, they flee in fear. And in the case of Simon Peter, they even deny the Lord Jesus with oaths. You know, there is no more powerful illustration of the necessity of this prayer than the experience of Jesus and his disciples that night in Gethsemane. You know, if the Saviour himself was in such need of praying these words, And how can we fail but to pray them for ourselves and for each other? Do you remember what it was that saved Simon Peter from eternal ruin? It's because the Lord Jesus had prayed this prayer for him. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan determined to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. It's because Jesus prayed that prayer for Simon that his faith didn't utterly fall apart. We have to pray this prayer. We have to pray it for ourselves. We have to pray it for other people. Let me be clear. Our eternal destinies don't rest on our ability to pray, but they rest on the Father that we're praying to. The only way that we can be kept from temptations which are too powerful for us and delivered from the temptations that we will face is by clinging to him, by praying for ourselves and each other. Never trust yourself. Never trust your own abilities to resist temptation. Remember what we read at the beginning of the service? He who thinks he will stand, take heed lest he fall. Never trust yourself. We are weak, we're powerless, we're prone to fail, we're prone to sin. What we need to do is keep casting ourselves on God. We need to keep watching and praying. We need to keep trusting in him. We need to keep praying this prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.